Coming to you via the internet and your friends at PipesMagazine.com, it's the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. This show may be bad, but at least we've never featured a segment on eyebrow grooming. And from the looks of it, some of you could use it. Now, I invite you to sit back, relax, the smoking lamp is lit. Here's your host, Brian Levine.
Ooh, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. Yes, the sometimes irreverent, sometimes educational, but always entertaining weekly pipe smoking broadcast. And I am your host, Brian Levine. And on this week's episode, well, we'll continue the audio tour with a picture attached of my pipe collection. And then my guest is John David Cole of the Country Squire, and we get caught up with him on the news from the very, very busy Country Squire. And then music, mailbag, rant, all that coming up on this week's episode of the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. Wondering where I was? I was gone last week. Yeah, we got in on a last-minute deal on a cruise that worked out in our lifetiming. And we went out on the Seven Seas on Carnival Cruise Line, and you'll hear more about that in the rant. But we had a good time. I will say, had one very nice bar area, outdoor smoking area. And originally, when I got on the ship, I was a little worried that they may not let me smoke my pipe there. But no problem. No problem at all. And the other benefit to moving to Florida, it was just a 3.5 hour drive down to the port in Miami. So that was quick, easy, no airplanes, no, none of that. Just the, you know, just quick, easy and in and out. Boom. We're back. Yeah. And, we are back and just in time to get ready to head off to Chicago. I will be arriving, if the airline gods are with me, I will be arriving Thursday, midday, and staying until Sunday evening to head back home, because we've got house guests coming. So looking forward to that. All right, let's get the show rolling. So everybody sit back, relax, fire up a bowl. Thank you all for tuning in, and here we go.
Thoid Floor Men's Clothing. Suits, shoes, ties, trousers, cufflinks. Going up.
I beg your pardon, but on what floor might I find the luxury tobaccos, pipes, and accessories?
Well, I'll tell you, pal, if it's those things you's looking for, you need to visit tinbids.com.
Ah, yes, of course. You mean the pipe collector's auction site, right?
That's right, Mac. You can buy and sell pipes, accessories, and vintage and hard-to-find luxury tobaccos, you know, just like you were saying.
So I can sell my pipes and tobaccos, too? Why, that's just fine.
Yeah, you bet your life, buddy. So, what'll it be?
Can you take me to the floor where the computers are then?
What's a computer? Visit tinbids.com, the pipe collector's auction site, and sign up today.
We have arrived at 155. Missouri Meerschaum Company has been authentically crafting corncob pipes continually for 155 years. To celebrate, we're hosting a 155th anniversary celebration on Saturday, September 28th, 2024. There will be ticketed working plant tours, an exhibit on the corncob pipe industry by Skillet Fork Pipe Museum, a live podcast of the Gray Woody Show, a smoking tent for your enjoyment, and so much more. The 155th anniversary celebration will be held in conjunction with Downtown Washington's Fall Festival of the Arts and Crafts, with food, beverages, live music, and over 100 vendors. Visit our Facebook page at Cool Smoking Pipes for fun event updates and more information. Missouri Meerschaum Company, since 1869.
Back on the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. All right, tour of the pipe collection part. I forget which part this is. I give up. Part 4 or 5? Yeah. All right, so these are in the photograph on pipesmagazine.com on the radio show page there. From left to right, these are all pipes by a certain Ask the Pipe Maker, Jay Allen. And a couple of them are some of his older pieces, but Starting from the Left is really the first Jay Allen, the first true Jay Allen pipe that I got. And I bought this as an estate from Vernon Vig, who, if you go back in time and you'll hear me have, he was a guest on the show. Vernon and I have a very similar taste in pipes and very similar taste in tobaccos. So I've bought a couple of pipes from him, especially when he was really active and traveling all over the country for all the pipe shows. I'd always see what he was selling. But this is fairly old because it's a 2008 edition from Jeff Graysick, and it's a really nice pencil shank, almost a pot, but it's still just a little bit too tall for that pot shape. So it's not really kind of a hybrid. I would call it halfway between a pot and a billiard, but it's got that nice elegant little pencil shank, and bowl size is perfect for me. Bowl depth is perfect for me. And this is again, going back to when, I think I got this in 2012 or 13, maybe 14. So I was still really enamored with the long shank Lavats and stuff like that, but had this pipe probably at least over 10 years now, and it gets smoked fairly regularly, although the bowl is a little smaller than what I like now. Going from that one on the left, going to the right is the, I'm sorry to say, Jeff, but that's actually the only pipe that I've ever bought brand new from you. And it's become a fairly steady smoke, fairly regularly pulled for. It's kind of in that J. Davis workhorse pipe range. And I bought this from Jeff middle to late March of 2020, just after the world had kind of shut down. And he was kind of wondering where his customers went, because he'd had this on his site and available for sale since January. And I thought, well, heck, I'll buy it. I'm not going to a pipe show, so I got pipe show money, right? So technically, this could be considered my Chicago 2020 pipe show pipe from Jeff. And again, it's in that J. Davis workhorse size range and shape and style. Blast is fairly nice, and it gets regular use. In the next one is a smooth Acorn that I got from Smoking Pipes as an estate pipe. I know the previous owner. Doesn't get as smoked as often as I thought, I may have to work on it and see why I haven't pulled it that often. But it is a cross grain, and the grain runs straight up and down the shank and the bowl. It's almost perfectly lined up. Beautiful to look at, but again, I just haven't pulled at it that much, so I'll have to figure that out. Next one is a bigger version of the Workhorse Billiard. This one's almost a Group 5 size bowl. It's just more stout, more capacity. This is what I like to take on. I like to take this size on car rides because it gives me probably another half hour of smoking out of that bowl. And if you look at the stem closely, you'll notice that I like to clench it really hard. All right. Now, the last two are both estate pipes that I bought, both from Jeff. One at the first Las Vegas International Pipe Show, when I promised myself I wasn't going to buy pipes because I feel like, as the pipe show organizer, you know, I shouldn't be buying pipes that my guests that are coming to the show may want. But it was still there on Sunday, and it was an estate pipe that Jeff was selling from the estate of Mitch Michelson. And you've heard the stories of Mitch, and I was, I looked at it and I said, all right, I need to have one of Mitch's pipes in my collection. And Mitch's son and daughter were there, and they got to see me buy it, and then I got to light it up and smoke it. It's a nicely elegant, nice elegant shaped Dublin, very lightweight for the size of the bowl, and lightly sandblasted. It's got a couple of good craggy spots on it, but again, this was an estate pipe, and as I look at it, it's now 11 years old because it was made in 2013, but again, my goal was, all right, I'll have one of Mitch's estate pipes in my collection. And then the last one is a really large pipe for me, and it's a really large, it's almost an armchair pipe for me, but it's from Chicago last year. And again, it's another one of Mitch Michelson's estate pipes that Jeff went through and cleaned up and refreshed. And it's just, man, when you think of what Dunhill or even kind of a Yes Conowitz-esque bamboo billiard, I mean, this is really it. And Jeff did obviously a fantastic job with it. And knowing that Mitch owned it and took care of it, and then Jeff got it back and cleaned it up and was selling it for his estate, you know, that was just even nicer to have that and add this big, for me, black sandblast. And when I mean big for me, I mean this one, I can get this thing to smoke for like 3 hours easily. So usually gets filled up with some of the more stout blends because it is a bigger, wider bowl. And man, I can finish off a whole evening just with this one pipe. The one variation that I will do with a pipe this size is because of the size of it, is I will make sure and I'll dump ash about 2/3 of the way through, because otherwise I feel like you get too much ash on top of the pipe and you're not really able to get the flame down to the tobacco, and then you gotta kind of rebuild the top of it. But yeah, a pipe like this, that one gets an ash dumped and it gets saved for the armchairs. So there's my my six Jay Allen pipes. All six, well, five of them get smoked on a regular basis, and they've got a special spot in my collection. And if Jeff's listening, sorry, I've only bought one actual brand new one from you, but there you go. Comments, questions, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com. And in just a moment, my, I guess it's bi-monthly conversation with John David Cole.
This is Internet Radio.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Reeves, head blender of Cornell and Deal. We know pipe smoking is a personal journey. That's why our small team of blending and production experts take a personal approach in every step, preparing tobacco products just for you. We source top quality leaf through the personal connections we've made around the world, hand blend that leaf, and carefully package each tin. Each product, from special releases like our small batch line to our most popular mixtures like Autumn Evening, are made right here in South Carolina by professionals dedicated to providing the finest of smoking experiences. Lighting up a pipe is an exploration through evolving flavors, thoughts, memories, and even dreams. From our hands to yours, Cornell and Deal tobaccos are your passport for that voyage, provided by people who, like you, value the journey.
We are back on the Pipes Magazine radio show, and it's always a happy day for me when I get to see the scruffy face that is the one and only John David Cole and get caught up on the news from the country squire. What am I saying?
Country squire. Yeah, man, that's our new product line that we've got coming out.
Yeah, no, this is just coffee. John David Cole, proprietor, tobacconist of the Country Squire. Welcome back to the Pipes Magazine radio show.
Man, thank you for having me, dude. This is the first time I've joined you since you moved, and yeah. your new digs look good. I was just kind of thinking about how hard you've worked. I know y'all probably still got rooms full of boxes and everything. I know how terrible moves are. They were awful, but man, your setup looks good there. It looks sharp, man. I know you've worked hard on it.
Looks like home.
Yeah,
Looks like home. That way, it looks like I could be in a federal prison somewhere.
Right. Well, we all know you should be. So yeah, there is that.
Kind of like you got the blank wall with like three post-it notes of things you got to do.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. So recording in my office here, we have a office space that's down the street from our shop, just because we needed some extra shipping space. And it's the first time I've had an office in years. And so, I've been in here now 6 or 7 months, and there are a couple post-it notes on the wall. I've got a calendar hanging on the wall, and that's That's it, man. The rest of it's just milk crates and, you know, it's pitiful.
I've seen death row cells decorated better than that one, but
I know. They're like, you know, all the people they ripped a fingernail off of, just pinning them on the wall.
Yeah. That's right. You were the last person I recorded with in North Carolina before we made the move and tore the studio down.
That's right.
And, yeah. So, and we're doing this the end of March. By the time this comes out, we'll be packing our bags and heading to Chicago. But by the next time we record, guess what we'll have in common?
What?
It'll be May, and both of us will be tired of the heat already.
Oh yeah, man, are you kidding me? Shoot, I'm actually excited about it because it's just kind of been a wet, cold winter here. I mean, I don't know. I'm ready for some heat, man. It's we went to Las Vegas. I think we're going to talk in a little bit. Went to Las Vegas for the Premium Cigar Association show, which is kind of the premium tobacco show, you know. And there were a couple days where it was cool, and it just felt weird. It was like, man, I don't know. I'm ready for some sunshine, a little humidity, and the pool, and a cold beer.
I want to feel moist in my pits again, please. And then by the time we record again in July, we'll both be like, oh, is it still summer?
Then we'll be tired of it. Yeah. July's a different story. July and August, that's where you kind of, you don't drink beer because you want to. You drink it because you need to get in another frame of mind.
that's when you're going outside scraping your customers up off the pavement to bring them into the shop.
Right. Please come buy something. Yeah.
So let's talk about Vegas, because last I heard, you had asked me for some hotel recommendations. Where did you, because you took the lovelier, the much lovelier and much smarter half, Mrs. Cole, with you.
I did, man. It was so this is what's crazy. Of course, the Premium Cigar Association, you know, that is our trade association that covers premium, you know, pipe tobacco, cigars, all premium tobacco products. And of course, you know, for, as we discussed, I think in previous episodes on your show, you know, they can't, we can't have nuanced names for anything anymore. It's just broad brushstrokes, especially when you're, you know, dealing with, you know, lobbyists and legislators and all this kind of stuff. So they just named it the PCA, the Premium Cigar Association, and that is supposed to be the catch-all for all premium tobacco products. And so anyway, that's where we were. It just happened to schedule it on my 6th anniversary, and so I was kind of devastated. Actually, I was like, man, this is just really poor timing, because I have to go, and it's one of those things where I've got to be there to buy product and to find out about, you know, new things on the market, and to handpick pipes, and, you know, test new tobaccos and all these things. And my wife was not going to let me, you know, do it without her. So it's our anniversary. So what did we do? Well, we spent twice as much, but you know what? We had dinner looking the fountains at the Bellagio. It was great, man. It was great. No, we had a really good time. It was awesome. They had the convention this year at the Las Vegas Convention Center, which you know, big, you know, just convention center, nothing really special there. But the hotel we stayed at was Resorts World, which I have never stayed there before. It's a newer one. You know, it's been there maybe, I don't know, 10 years or something. And it's a Hilton building, so it's got like a Hilton and a couple other flags that are within the same building there. But the reason that was cool is not really, I mean, it's just kind of a ho-hum,
casino
resort.
You got to take the underground loop.
I got to take Elon's little tube thing. Yeah. That was neat. He has this boring company or whatever that goes and digs these tunnels up underneath crap. And then, you know, they drive Teslas up in there. And so they have one of these boring tube things going between the Resorts World and the convention center. It was so cool, man. So you just go down to the basement and you just wait on your little Tesla and you hop in, and then it takes you over there, and you know, it's great. It was kind of interesting.
My friends in Vegas are all referring to that as the Tesla colon.
Pretty much.
But those are the self-driving ones, right? There ain't nobody in the front seat. You just get in the back and.
These actually had drivers in.
Oh, okay.
We were looking pretty hard. I did not notice any cars that were driverless, because I went into it assuming that they were like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, I live in a small town. We live in a, you know, part of the country that the world's forgotten about. But, you know,
on purpose,
right. But you know, when I've gone to big cities, I the only place I've really seen these self-driving cars operate on a semi-regular basis is Las Vegas. I kind of feel like Las Vegas is one of these testing grounds of, like, you know, for technologies where they're just trying to bring out, like, hey, what's gonna work on a random group of people that
who cares if we hit a couple of tourists and a stripper on the side of it?
Exactly.
No big deal.
They're probably not, you know, from here anyway or whatever it is. And so anyway, the only place I've ever seen those kind of cars has been Las Vegas, but all the ones under there had drivers. So it was cool though, man. Really, really great time. The weather up until the very end was really pleasant, you know, about 80 degrees and sunshine, and it was really nice.
Yeah, so you'd get up in the morning, have your grits and toast and your typical Southern breakfast at some fancy restaurant, right?
You know, we did not do that. We at all. You know, what we've complained about this before together, you know, Brian, like, it is so expensive in Las Vegas to do anything. Of course, people know that. You know, the nice thing about going to the Las Vegas Pipe Show, and by the way, I saw Dave there.
Yeah.
That was really neat, is that we bumped into each other on the show floor, and that was so cool. We were kind of, you know, just chatting and getting excited about the fall, coming back out there together as just pipe bros. But, it was, we're just always complaining about everything being so exorbitantly expensive. You can't get, you know, a mixed drink for less than, I used to say $25, and now it's got to be at least $30. You know, you're not going to buy a whiskey Coke, you know, for anything under $30. It's just crazy. But, so they don't put coffee makers in your rooms.
No,
you know?
That's why I travel with my own.
And so you bring your own. You got to bring, if you're going to Vegas and you're a coffee person and you don't want to wait in a 45-minute line to get coffee, you bring your own doggone coffee maker. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just nuts, man. Those kind of lines and stuff, it makes breakfast a little complicated. So you really just kind of take what you can get when you're out there, you know, and unless you have reservations or something, which, you know, I mean, who wants to make reservations for breakfast?
So we got a couple minutes before the break, but so we're talking, like, this was a 3-day show because they cut off the fourth day.
They did.
So that means that you're up and on the show floor by 10 o'clock in the morning, walking and shopping until 5 all 3 days, right?
I did not do that because I had my other half with me, and so I actually squeezed all my work into one day.
And then told the IRS it was 7 days.
That's exactly right. No, man, yeah, it was great. We were able to pack all the kind of business related stuff into that first day, and then we just took the rest of it off, scouting out the town. My wife had never been there, and so we did Vegas up big. So.
Uh-oh. All right, we're going to take a break right here. We'll talk about the days on the show floor, and we'll talk about upcoming Chicago. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
For over 150 years, Peterson has welcomed all pipe smokers. It's the preferred choice of the thinking man and the everyman alike, and our workshop too is a place of hospitality and warmth. Hi, I'm Glenn Whelan, and for me, Peterson is a family tradition I've known since my childhood. My dad, Tony Whelan Jr., worked at Peterson for 53 years and has been my home since 2003. From sweeping our factory on a Saturday morning, to managing our store, to now steering our international distribution, I've seen the craftsmanship poured into each Peterson pipe. It lives in Jason's discerning eye as he handcrafts our silver accents, and in Wojciech's able hands as he carves our rustications. It abides in Willie's grading and in Warren's papering. Peterson has welcomed us as contributors to its legacy, and it's a welcome we always extend to you. Cade Mila Falja, 100,000 welcomes, wherever you come from, whosoever you be.
We are back on the Pipes Magazine radio show, visiting with John David Cole, country squire. The news from the country squire, and it was funny. I was so Bo released episode number 2 of country squire
he's
radio.
Been doing that, yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I loved how you had to correct him on tobacco nest versus tobacco nist, because you're
Did he say like tobaccoist or
yeah,
tobaccoist?
Tobacco nest or something like that.
That's great. Yeah. It's been so long ago, man. We were just little kids. He didn't have a clue. I didn't. But what? Who am I talking about? I didn't either.
Oh, you were. Dude, I met you back then. You were clueless.
I was so green, man. Yeah. I was so green. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of neat talking about, Country Squire Radio. This was, as we're recording now, it's been just over a year since we had our last episode. Gathering.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
That was really.
I was not going to bring that up, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just mentioned it. I've been thinking a lot about it because I've had these memories pop up, on our social media and stuff, just all the pipe smokers that came to Jackson to celebrate with us and that kind of thing. It was really, really special. I tell you, one of the first things that made me think of it this month, I was like, why are our sales numbers down so much over year? Our trends are good overall, but like, man, March last year is just like we're taking a bath this year. Like, what is wrong? I start digging into the days. I'm like, oh. That's because we had like all these extra people from all these extra zip codes come to our city for that time period. And and they were kind enough to support us. And so, last March was a monster around here.
You had an abandoned Chinese restaurant full of pipe smokers. You had enough pipe smokers there. You could have filled in the potholes of Jackson, Mississippi.
I don't know. We might have gotten close, but it was I guess there are a lot of potholes, but yeah, it was cool. So anyway, I have been thinking about that. Yeah.
All right. So what was your day? Who are the exhibitors that you had to go see in your very crunched one day? And we need to talk also about, cigars, because that's part of your business too.
It is, although, for us, And again, we do sell tons of cigars here at our local shop, but the volume that we do in business, we are a pipe shop at our core, overall. And so we are just where purchasing for us makes sense at a show like that is really in the pipe side. So I did spend some time with some of our cigar vendors and we did that. But, I really the reason I need to go to this particular trade show is because of the pipe, and it's great because you get to connect with, it's typically the one show that, Eric Nording goes to nowadays. Yeah. He sent his son this go around, but, you'll see him. Eric Stokeby is there. All the folks from, that represent Chacon and,
You got that whole Arango umbrella of
the
people.
Whole Arango umbrella. Yeah, they've got just a huge, crew out there. And of course, the folks with F&K Cigar that distribute Vowin pipes and, all the kind of those funny little small batch tobaccos that we love, like Dan Tobacco and John Aylesbury and some of those guys, they represent them. And so, stocking up on some of those tobaccos.
Talk about funny small batches. Gerard's still there with F&K running around.
Man,
like
it's
crazy.
Amazing. Yeah. It is, man, running around. It's great. And, of course, the first stop we always have to make, and I learned this the hard way on year one when I went to this show a few years ago.
Wait, let me guess. First, can I guess? Can I guess?
Okay. You can guess.
You had to make a beeline for Briarworks before they sold out.
I did, man. I had, man, I learned that the hard way. Like when you go to the PCA show and you're there for pipes, like you make a beeline. Like you have to be ugly and ignore people. And like if people are trying to say hey to you or you see an old friend, you just be like, look, I'm sorry, bro. I got to catch up with you later because I have to beat Shane Ireland to Pete Prevost's booth. Because if I don't buy my Briarworks before Shane gets there, then I know Shane and Smoking Pipes is going to buy every one of the ones that are left. So anyway, it's really, really neat, man. And got to see Pete and got a great collection of Briarworks and Moonshine Pipes. And they've just done such a good job, building that brand up and everything. So, that was cool. And then You know, spent a lot of time with our folks at Laudisi. And of course, Laudisi, you know, is the parent company of Smoking Pipes, but then also, you know, they own Peterson and they own or the American distributors for, you know, Savinelli and Rossi and all these other great brands that we sell. And so loaded up on a lot of those. And my dear friend Bill Haggerty out of Houston, who is their rep for our area, Texas, takes really good care of us. You know, we had a good time with him. And yeah, I mean, it's fun learning about new products when you go to these shows. You know, you get to see for the first time all the new, you know, Nording Hunter pipes that they've got out there. And, you know, Josh and Corey with Arango are showing you like, hey, this is the, you know, the brand new I Am Corona that they debuted for this year, you know, and it's this exquisite $250 pipe lighter. And you're one of the first people to see it. It's just fun stuff like that, you know, that makes it really special.
And this is also a chance for you in a business setting where there's no consumers around, like at an upcoming Chicago pipe show. It's a chance for you to sit and talk to some of these guys and maybe plot out some projects that you want to do with them for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. And also just kind of compare notes, like even with your friends that are technically competitors. You know, I mentioned, you know, Shane and, you know, the folks at Tobacco Pipes and, you know, you just kind of checking in with each other. Hey, how's business going? And, you know, what are you seeing your trends, you know, working as? And, you know, and that's fun and special. It kind of, you know, keeps you connected emotionally with people in the industry, which, you know, to me is really a really fun part of this this whole job. So, but yeah, you know, setting up events, lining up events. We've got a you know, a Rattray's trunk show coming up on into the summertime here. We're trying to nail a date down for that. And you know, yeah, bought a whole bunch of those pipes, bought a whole bunch of Vowin pipes, and you know, and we have you know, got to handpick all of our Nordings. You know, that the great thing about Arango is they basically bring all the Nordings they have to the show. And so if you think you've seen a lot of Nording pipes, like you think you've seen a lot of Nording pipes, but like when you go, imagine like, you know, these huge, you know, mile long, you know, conference tables that they've kind of commandeered for these booths that they have at Vegas. And then they're just covered in literal mounds of briar.
And then there's boxes underneath that they reload with.
And then there's boxes underneath that. I know. And so it's so funny. You know, they go around, they give you a, you go to the Arango booth and they give you a shopping cart, like a basket, like you'd see it, like, you know, Kroger, you know, Safeway or whatever grocery store you go to. And like, so they give you the shopping basket and then you go around and fill it up with the pipes that you want. But it's great because you get to hand pick them, you know, and you're hand picking your fourth generation pipes while you're sitting there, you know, hanging out with Eric Stokeby. And, you know, and he's kind of telling you about, you know, his thoughts on the lines and different ones. It's so cool. Meerschaum pipes, the same thing there. You know, you fill up one basket and they get you another one. And then, you know, you fill that one up and they get you another one.
And next thing you know, they're bringing you a cocktail.
And then they're bringing you a cocktail. And then the sad thing is that the terrible gut wrenching thing about this is, you know, of course, that, you know, in about 6 weeks, I'm going to get an invoice from these people and I'm going to cry.
So let's talk the financial side, because this was interesting. This was the first time where the trade show moved up from normally in June and July.
Yeah.
All the way up into March. So that's going to alter your financial year.
I have a bone to pick with these people, because these turkeys moved the trade show from July to March. Okay. Number one, you messed with my anniversary. So just stop. But number two, the whole reason they moved it is because all these pansies can't handle the heat in Las Vegas in July. And I'm sorry, but like, I just come from a part of the country where we're just used to it, you know? So I didn't mind walking around, you know, Las Vegas and in July. And for us, it made so much more sense. Like, it was just, and they moved it to March and they just messed it all up, including, like you said, kind of our cash flow and all that stuff. And so, man, I hope all these, you know, lightweights that live in, I don't know, places like Wisconsin that can't handle a 90-degree day. Like,
I hope
they had a great show.
Now, why are you picking on where Dave lives half the year?
Exactly. No, that's right. I mean, look, Dave looked like he was very comfortable while he was out there.
Well, he spends he spends the summers in Wisconsin.
I know. No, it was great, though. Yeah, we wound up, I think March is going to be a fine time of year for it. It was good, but it kind of is going to mess with some of our kind of planning and stuff, though, you know, because we're about to get in these gigantic bills on pipes that we bought, here in just a couple months. And so
I can give you a little of the historical background. Traditionally, the show was in July because trade shows, trade show and meeting space is cheaper then. It's just cheaper then. But the reason it was primarily in July was because it was a Christmas buying show. So you'd go to the show and then they'd have samples of stuff. And then the manufacturers would go back and make the stuff and it would show up in October, November for Christmas sales. Well, the world doesn't work like that anymore. You know, and pipes never really worked like that because pipe manufacturers would always bring pipes to handpick. But the real request to move to March came from the cigar side of the industry because for 75% of the U.S., cigar season begins when the golf course is open.
Yeah, that's true, which is about
March.
About now. That's exactly right. Yeah.
So their summer, and once the summer gets going like that, the cigar shop's real summer season is almost over. And like you've said in the past, you know, sometimes your customers, man, it's just too hot to go smoke. So, you know, they don't smoke as much. But now it's, you know, golf courses open, cigar season opens. And then, you know, like the people in New York are finally being able to take off their parkas and realize that they've got skin underneath there. And yeah, so it's all cigar centric.
Leave it to the cigar folks to mess it all up, you know, just like they always do. Gaw.
Yeah, and take the name of pipe out of there and take the retailer and the dealer out of there.
I know.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's fine. You know, March is a pleasant time of year. And it is nice to be able to walk around and not feel like you're, you know, and what's that, Who Framed Roger Rabbit or whatever, where you get run over by that steamroller and you're just like a little puddle on the ground out there, you know? You feel like someone needs to come scrape you up. And I don't know. I mean, but it is hot. So, it was a lot of fun.
But it does, if you go to Vegas in the shoulder seasons, you know, the spring and the fall, it is nice to go to a fine restaurant at Bellagio and sit outside and watch the fountains going and you're not out there melting or, you know, they bring the food out to you cold and during the summertime, they bring the food out cold, just leave it out on the plate and it heats up.
And then, exactly. What was really one thing we've done, if you've never, this is not a show about, we're supposed to be talking about pipe smoking, but we are talking about a lot about Las Vegas. But Vegas is just a really neat town. I like Vegas a lot. If you have never been to Vegas and you'd like to go, make a point to go down to Fremont Street. Fremont Street.
You didn't, did you?
Let me have my say, Brian. Let me say what I'm going to say.
Are you still married?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Most of this was her fault. But Fremont Street is where Vegas started, like over 100 years ago. Okay, so when that was a dusty, you know, town where you might have had one or two places to hitch your horse or whatever, the first casinos opened on Fremont Street. And then so that is the old part of Las Vegas. And then years later, what we refer to now as the Vegas Strip, you know, that started to develop kind of on the other side of town, kind of, or just, you know, out of the way. And now that Vegas Strip has kind of become the center. Well, what they've done is they've taken this Fremont Street that kind of was the original but started to get neglected because all the energy moved out to the Vegas Strip, you know, with the Bellagio and Caesars and, you know, all these guys. Well, they made this kind of district in on Fremont Street where these really old casinos are still there. Some of them are actually pretty historic. I think the Golden Gate opened in 1906 or something. Yeah, you know, it's just crazy. It's
ridiculous.
That's a casino that's still there that long. But they made this district. They've covered over like six city blocks with this LED screen. And then they've put these zip lines going down the whole thing. And then there's stages everywhere. And, you know, so you're listening to, I don't know, they got cover bands playing this and that. And honestly, it feels like New Orleans. Fremont Street feels like New Orleans because it's just normal people walking around trying to get their drink on.
and you will find the random topless woman and the random guy urinating on himself somewhere.
That's what I said. It feels a lot like New Orleans. But what was so cool is we actually did the whole, we did the zip line, man.
Oh, it was awesome.
We did the zip line. They've got it two ways. You can eat the lower level goes like two blocks and you can just sit in this harness and you kind of, like a normal zip line, you just sit and go. But the one we did is up 11 stories high. And they put you in it lying flat, so you're flying like Superman. You put your arms out in front of you, and then you just roll, man. You roll for like, you know, 6 or 8 blocks, however long it is, and by the time you get to the other side, you need to change your underwear.
And I've seen they send a basket with your own personal belongings right along behind you.
That's right. That's exactly right. You got to empty your pockets and like put it in this little bag, and then hope that the bag follows you over to the street you disembark on. But it was awesome, man. It was really, really neat. And of course, with the show in town, you saw cigars everywhere, and you saw some pipes too, and that was really, really cool to see. So,
all right. So you're getting a bunch of inventory. So that also coincides with the upcoming Chicago Pipe Show.
That's right.
So. Now that you're getting ready for Chicago as well, does that mean that you're kind of sold, you know, that your buying is all done, or you've still got some people that you got to meet with and talk about stuff for Chicago?
Of course, absolutely. So one thing about, you know, being on our side of the counter in the pipe industry is, you know, these pipe shows they're fun, but it's also, you know, we got to, you know, make some plans and connect with vendors and, talk about projects that we want to collaborate on and things like that. And so, we're just a couple weeks out now from Chicago. And so I'll be seeing you up there and seeing a lot of my, you know, pipe carver buddy friend. I was chatting with Dirk Heinemann actually just a little bit ago. He's bringing a buddy with him from Germany who's never been to a pipe show before. And he was all excited. He was like, man, bring some of your shepherd's pie tobacco because my buddy, likes that stuff and can't get it over here and that kind of thing. So, we'll be, just hanging out with a lot of carvers and, pipe makers and really, you know, just our friends. This is just pipe smokers that we love and have met over the years and have so much fun hanging out with. So, this year I'm actually not doing a booth. We had done one in years past, but this year we are a little short-handed. So you and your listeners may be familiar with my employee, Quinn Crawford, who is our manager of all of our e-commerce business and our tobacco production. Quinn has become just a great blender in his own right and is really plugged into the younger pipe community. But he just had a baby, and so he's been on paternity leave, and you know his wife is not gonna let him go hang out with a bunch of sloppy pipe smokers for 4 days while they've got a little infant at home. So anyway, we're probably not gonna do a booth this year because we'll be a little shorthanded. But I will be there and hanging out, and I can't wait to see all my friends.
Will you also be able to spend some will you be able to take some time and say, all right, I need to look at some of these newer, you know, some pipe makers that I've never seen before or heard of before, and go wander around quietly and try to scope out some new fresh product?
That's right. And that's really what pipe shows are all about, even for folks that are, you know, just pipe smokers that aren't necessarily making their living doing this stuff. Like, you just want to go and see what you don't know about. What do you not even know about? You know, there's carvers that come every single year that are brand new. And you know, they might have 4 or 5 pipes on their table, but they might be the next one. You know, they might be the, I mean, I remember when Alexander Hastie was that guy, you know, he was the next one. And Jared Coles and, you know, all these guys that are like, are pipe carving heroes now, you know, and pipe blenders for that matter too. I mean, you see these blenders that are kind of doing stuff on their own and they're bringing their own blends, and I just think that's interesting and fun, and there's just a lot of neat stuff to take advantage of at a pipe show. But yeah, we'll definitely be walking around and trying to scope out some new product for our store and you know, come up with some ideas on events for down the road. And but mostly, you know, the pipe shows are just you got to go because they're it's just a blast. You're hanging out with your, you know, buddies, smoking interesting tobaccos that everyone brought that you're like, man, where did you get, like, you know, McClelland Oriental number 8 from 1993 or whatever, you know, and it's just that kind of stuff over and over, you know, someone's like, here, try this nasal snuff that I made in my bathroom. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to try that.
I've got a jar of old nasal snuff that I bought back here. I think on my desk behind me, I bought it for like $10. And the only reason I bought it was because it was old nasal snuff and it came in a cool old glass jar.
Yeah, but if you got it, if you used it, you get tuberculosis.
If I ever use it, we're in deep trouble.
Oh, man. It's just so funny. But the pipe shows are like that, man. You know, it's like, oh, stay close to Scotty Purcell. You know, if you don't watch out, she'll you know, sneak you an 85-year-old cigarette. You know? And it's just fun, man. It's fun.
In between puffs of that, then you're trying something out of a pipe that you're like, somebody walks up to you and goes, this is 100 years old. Try it. And then somebody else comes up to you and goes, here, sniff this. It'll be good. And
you feel so unworthy because by the, you know, about halfway through the show, your palate is just shot.
Completely.
You know, you can't taste any. And everyone's like, look, I'll try. I've saved this tobacco for this really special occasion. I'm bringing it to you here. It's whatever tobacco, you know, someone blended with the Queen of England or whatever. And you're like, this is fantastic, but everything I taste, you know, tastes like sandpaper right now.
I'm tasting hot and smoke.
And hot and regret.
and blisters. And
right, man.
Yeah.
It's like stomach acid tastes better than this at this point. It's like, oh, it's the perfect time to try Lakeland blends, you know, because I think they taste like sin. And it's like, so, oh, bring the Lakeland blends on, man. Yeah, bring them. I'll try all the Lakeland blends you got when I'm at the pipe show, because that second half of the show, man, it's just, you know, I feel like after that, nothing really counts.
So. Might be a good time to introduce a tobacco that tastes like raisins.
Like raisins, yeah, yeah. For instance, that's right. Yeah,
yeah.
Could do that. Yeah. You know, we of course we're joking, but
no,
you
we're know, not.
Made our actually not actually, but made our raisin flavored tobacco this time last year for you know, our show that we had here in Jackson, and we had to discontinue that because we ran out of Perique, and we were so jealously guarding our Perique for other blends. But I have been very shrewdly locating Perique and stocking up. Yeah, Brian's got his there in his little can, his commemorative can, but pocket jar, which we love. But I've been very shrewdly, I think, stocking up, and I think we've squirreled enough away to maybe make another run of Find Then. So we'll
wait.
See.
Can we call it Find Then again?
Again. Find then again.
Find then.
I think I could actually hear my grandmama saying that, like in some recess of my memory.
Speaking of that, how's the Southern Fantasy series doing? Sorry, I ruined it for people.
You didn't. No, it's great. It's actually doing great, man. We've really been thankful that, you know, those blends have been able to carry on with their, you know, existing recipes, but under new names, and they're kind of developing their own lore now and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I heard you talking about our Southern Fantasy series. Yeah. What'd you say it was? Southern Fantasy? That's like a dream about
two girls named Bobby Sue,
Tammy Lynn and Veronica, you know, whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Do you have new, expanded product coming for that new things down the pike?
We have a couple things that we are on the drawing board, and we've tested some, but not near production. So, you know, our biggest one that this year we just had the biggest release of yet was our Dark Holler. Dark Holler, which came out in January. And, of course, it's our crumble cake that's got a really high percentage of Perique in it and dark burleys, and it's just a fun, rich, sweet, intriguing tobacco that is just loaded with nicotine and flavor, and it's just great. But that is a rendition we do once a year of our blend Tom Bigby. And Tom Bigby, we tweak the recipe on that and then press it and then come out with that Dark Holler in January. And man, it was a big hit. So we were really thankful for that. So anyway, but yeah, look, keep your ears open for a couple, you know, things probably later in the year. Mm-hmm.
John David Cole, I'm sad to say our time has run out, and that means that I don't get, well, I get to see him in person in a couple of days here at Chicago, so that's even better.
I know, man.
But
yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for thanks for the insight onto your anniversary trip that happened to coincide with a trade show.
and, I know.
Yeah. And always good just to catch up with you. I will tell a secret if I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tried.
It's just you and us. It's you and me, girls. Here, it's just us girls.
Yeah.
Just tell whatever you want.
I tried my darndest to get Bo to join us for a quick little segment of this, and we just couldn't nail the timing down. So, Bo, we love you. We miss you.
We do love you, man. We miss you. I know we Bo and I were doing really good about keeping up with each other once a month, and have kind of let it slack. So we need to pick that back up. But he's a dear friend. If you're ever down in Houston, look him up. So
yeah. So John David Cole, Country Squire, online.com. Check him out. See you in a couple days in Chicago.
Yeah, man. Let's go spend some money and smoke a bunch of pipes and not be able to taste anything for a week and a half.
Yeah. And then say, it was so nice to see you. Ow.
I had a great show with you, Brian. It was great.
And on that note, we'll be back in just a minute.
Have a look in your tobacco cellar. What do you see? Think of what you smoke, what you age, what you're drawn to in a blend that keeps you wanting more. That's your taste. And whether you know it or not, you've been leading that expedition since you first picked up a pipe. Just by smoking what you like and liking what you smoke. But the funny thing about taste, it changes. And you need a wide selection to accommodate it. We at Smoking Pipes know this, and you know it too. So whether you're searching for a tried and true favorite or a singular boutique mixture, we're here to help you navigate the voyage of your evolving tastes. But you're still at the helm. Smoking Pipes, in faithful service of the hobby.
This is Internet Radio.
And we are back. And as always, you know, check out everything John David's doing over there at the Country Squire. And we'll have him back on in a couple months. See how he's survived all this chaos. All right. For music, Southern rock, Southern blues. You know, we talked to a guy from Mississippi. Well, this one is Jason Isbell. And it's Jason's somebody I've been listening to more and more frequently. This is his most popular song on Spotify. It's Jason Isbell, and the song is called Cover Me Up.
A heart on the run keeps a hand on the gun. You can't trust him. I was so sure what I needed was more. Tried to shoot out the sun. Days when we raced, we flew off the page. Such damage was done. But I made it through, 'cause somebody knew I was meant for someone. So girl, leave your boots by the bed. We ain't leaving this room. But someone needs medical help more than magnolias. It's cold in this house and I ain't going out to chop. Cover me up and know you're enough to use me for good. Put your faith to the test when I tore off your dress in Richmond on high. sobered up and I swore off that stuff forever this time. The old lover's say I thought it'd be me who helped him get home. But home was a dream, one I'd never seen till you came along. So girl, hang your dress up to dry, we ain't leaving this room. Percy Priest breaks open wide and the river runs. Carries this house on the stones like a piece of driftwood. Cover me up and know you're enough to use me for good.
Jason Isbell is from Alabama, which is right next door to Mississippi, and comes first alphabetically, although it confuses the people in Alabama and Mississippi, that alphabet thing. Anyway, it's Jason Isbell, I-S-B-E-L-L. You can find him all over Spotify. And remember, mailbag comments or questions can be emailed directly to me, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at pipesmagazine.com. Or you can post them on the Pipes Magazine radio show page on pipesmagazine.com. And we got 2 weeks worth. So we'll go back to 2 weeks ago with Kevin the Hobbiton Piper. And Dino says, Jeff's explanation of briar gradation with respect to mass market pipes versus artisan production was quite interesting and insightful. It was nice to revisit with Kevin. His questions for you made for good conversation. Warren's Heaven was a nice California glam flashback. Good choice. Speed Traps? No. Yeah. Thanks for another fun show, Dino. Dino, you are welcome. And Casey Ghost says, it was another good show. There was a decent explanation of the different gradings of briar that get sent to factories versus artisan pipe carvers. Jeff's explanation of the briar Dr. Grabo gets was hilarious. He first said they were getting $1 to $2 briar, then he went up to $1 to $5 and ended up under $10 for the briar. Good thing he quit then. Yeah. Casey Ghost says, I've followed Hobbiton for some time now. Kevin does try to give a mixture of pipes when he discusses them. He smokes anything from cobs to Savinelli's, which is a rather wide spectrum. I'm not sure I have ever heard him discuss some of the better artisans. He was much better on your show than on most of his own. I enjoyed his questions that he had for you. Music was decent. Not sure this type of music really matched up with my taste, though. Yeah, I didn't think that was going to happen. And then Casey Ghost says speed traps are a bad thing. The way you were describing it, it sounded like there must be a decent number of Smokies patrolling that area. Surprised Disney would allow such foolishness so near their property. I've been very remiss in not congratulating you on reaching the 600 episode milestone. Quite an achievement. Yeah, thank you. And Disney does not control that area. In fact, Disney doesn't control their own area anymore. Yeah. And then quickly going back to last week's show with Rick Newcomb, Dino says some very good points in your discussion of the effects on tobacco enjoyment with regard to pipe sizes, shapes, and preparation. Rick is always a fascinating guest, and he didn't disappoint tonight. His stories about friends, pipe shows, and the pipe communities of yesterday and today were both entertaining and enlightening. Sammy Davis Jr. is another of my personal favorites. Thanks for choosing this tune. Glad to hear that you're enjoying all the critters in your new Florida location. I'm talking about the wildlife, not the domesticated bipeds. Thanks for another always entertaining show. Yeah, the two-legged things around here can be a little weird. Casey Ghost says, pipe parts was kind of interesting. Lots of different shapes and sizes being discussed and their impact on the type of tobacco that could be smoked in them. Lots of advice here, but I decided to keep my pipes resembling each other in shape and length. That way I forced the tobacco to conform to my taste, limited as they are, rather than me conforming to them. This led to a lot of rejections of perfectly good tobaccos, but made it a lot easier on me. A wonderful guest you had tonight in Rick Newcomb. Coincidentally, I had been thinking about Rick Newcomb lately, and voila, you had him on. An interesting story about Rick was when he and I were enjoying a chat at Chicago about 7-8 years ago. Suddenly, out of the throng of people comes a cry, "Uncle Rick, Uncle Rick." It was Nana, and poof, he was gone. I couldn't blame him either, as Nana was looking spectacular that night. Sammy Davis has always been a great club singer, but there was something wrong with the recording. The orchestra kept drowning out his voice. What I could hear of him was top-notch, good selection, bad recording. Florida is wonderful this time of the year. Wait until the year moves into June, July before you're making your mind up. As a kid 60 to 65 years ago, I loved Florida, but that was Key West, not Orlando, and I was a 10-year-old and not your age. Yeah, well, thanks. And Click Clack says, while I was surprised by this one, I respect Rick and have his books. Much love to him. But what rock has he been living behind if he is only now discovering Micah Yeti Kreider and Nate the King of Pipes? Has he really been out of the pipe world for an entire decade and only with his head in the Danish clouds of yesteryear? I'm all for respecting opinions and history and am fully on board with that. But Nate and Micah are not upcoming new pipe makers. They are both well-established American pipe carvers with large bodies of work that truly show they are masters of the craft. I was taken aback by his comments. He's going to really need to get back into the current state of the hobby for a third book to have any bite with the younger smokers. See you all in Chicago. And then Rick responded, do we know each other? Please introduce yourself at the Chicago Pipe Show. There's no question that my head is in the Danish clouds of yesteryear. Obviously, I'm not the only one. I would love to find a Lars Everson pipe on eBay at a price that is anything other than insane. I'm very, very impressed by some of the pipe makers whose work I have only seen but not tried. Hence my eagerness and excitement about the upcoming pipe shows. Stay positive and this hobby will reward you and... reward you endlessly, but don't dismiss a greatness because it occurred in yesteryear. So and then they go on and have a nice little back and forth, and it just is kind of a reminder to me that, you know, we all have our favorites that we look at in our areas of, you know, our areas of enjoyment, and every once in a while it's nice to just kind of poke your head out of that and you may discover your brand new super favorite. On iTunes, if I can get these reviews to open up, Oriental Leaf says five stars at Noah's house. Really great episode. The way Jeremy broke down Oriental Leaf was great. Honestly, didn't realize how intricate the leaf was or can be. And then Woodruff SC Piper says, one pipe maker only. If you could collect pipes from one pipe maker in April 2024, who would the maker be and why? Listen every week. Great show. Keep it up. David Beach. First of all, thank you for the 5-star ratings. Much appreciated. If there's only one pipe maker that I could collect from that's currently making pipes, you know, I guess it would have to be the Jeff Graysick, Jay Allen, because of his diversity of pipes and the, and he's a full-time pipe maker, so I know he'd be able to make enough to keep me happy. Yeah, price is a little steep, but you asked about pipe makers, so that's my answer. If you have a comment or question, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com. Have your own one pipe maker that you think it might be, let me know. Adam Floyd's middle initial for this week, the J. How about Jackson? Adam Jackson Floyd, because, you know, maybe he's from the South again. You never know. All right. In just a moment, rant time.
Since its beginnings in 1876, Savinelli has become more than just a pipe factory. It's become a lifestyle. From sourcing the finest Mediterranean briar and partnering with local artisans to acquire unique accents, to expanding their catalog each year with new innovative series, Savinelli produces high-quality Italian pipes that serve as a reflection of your individual tastes. With a portfolio that ranges from rugged designs fit for the outdoors to elegant pieces destined for black tie galas, Savinelli is more than a mark. They're a way to help you make your mark.
There's nothing quite like hunting at dawn or smoking my genuine Missouri Meerschaum corncob pipe, an American legend since 1869. It's the coolest, smoothest pipe I've ever owned. Check them out at corncobpipe.com.
We knew we were taking a carnival cruise. We knew it was around spring break. We knew it was going to be loud and crowded. But what we didn't know was how many bad parents there were going to be on the ship. And let me give a big shout out to the crew of the ship and how they handled all these bad parents, because these bad parents would allow their children just to run loose throughout the ship, running around, running down the halls, hooting and hollering, unmanaged. And that was inside the ship. That was we went up one time to the sports deck where the basketball, you know, where the basketball court was and all the other stuff, and boy, that was an experience. But we went back down because that's a kids area, you know, fine, you can have that area, act your fool all you want. We would see kids that would just drop ice creams right in the middle of a walkway on the ship inside and drop a piece of pizza and whatever. We saw all kinds of bad behavior, and I blame the parents for just unleashing these kids upon the ship and allowing it to happen. But again, it's Carnival, so if you go on Carnival, you're going to experience that. Oh, and by the way, not only was there bad parents, there were other just really loud and obnoxious people that were enjoying the drinks way too much. And, you know, so hey, listen, it makes sitting and having a quiet conversation and smoking a pipe a little difficult, but it is what it is. We still had a really enjoyable trip, and you know, it didn't ruin our trip, but boy, there are some parents out there that just think, oh, we're on vacation and we're on the ship, let the kids loose, and whatever they do, they do. No repercussions whatsoever. And I don't blame the kids for that. I blame the parents for, you know, not teaching them how to act in public or how to act on a cruise ship. And they might have been first-time cruisers. You never know. But anyway, we had fun. I'd do it again. All right. So comments, questions, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com. Apple Podcast ratings and reviews, much appreciated. If you haven't done one in a while, go back on there because maybe you unregistered or whatever. We would greatly appreciate those. Looking forward to seeing a lot of you this upcoming weekend. Thank you very much to John David for joining me. Thank you all for tuning in, and until next time.
Happy trails to you. He's fine up the van.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and think about sunny weather.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
Pluck, ow, trim.